What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday. Yikes. Hope everyone had a great weekend. I did. Jax, did you?
I did have a great weekend because it was the Super Bowl. It's Harry's birthday weekend.
Yes!
However, I'd be remiss, devastated, and heartbroken and lying if I didn't mention the neck of it all. You guys were with me on Friday as I struggled through that episode. It like took me out this weekend. I was in so much pain. I'm on the mend and I'm feeling so much better today. Still not 100%, but it's so crazy. Like,
it's crippling.
It was crippling, Latourd.
There is nothing worse than having like a thrown out back neck. Like I could literally do a whole podcast on it. Cause if you've experienced it, you know how truly debilitating it is.
No, you've never experienced what I've experienced. Because I've never experienced what I've experienced. I've thrown my back out before. Like the way I felt yesterday and today is like how you feel when you throw your back out, like very, very inconvenienced, pain, etc. The way I felt on Friday, there are no words.
And, you know, Harry deserved more than that. You know, it's his birthday today. Yeah. It was his first birthday.
Yeah, but and mommy's feeling...
It's a national holiday.
Mommy's feeling better today, and I will break my back every day for him. Like, I was getting him in his pajamas, which is an Olympic sport, and I had been feeling better, and then I was feeling worse.
Well, what's on the docket for Harry's big day? I cannot believe my son is 1 year old. I'm like emotional. They really do. They grow up so fast. I wish he would grow up like a little faster so we could walk and we didn't have to carry him everywhere. But like time just flies when you're a mother.
It's so true. We just have a special day planned at home. We have balloons. We have cake. Just cuteness, family
what
time.
What kind of cake did Harry get? Chocolate or vanilla?
I think vanilla with chocolate icing.
That's
I don't know.
So I'm Harry.
I'm not so particular. So it's kind of just like, do your worst.
Yeah. Like make a cake.
Do a flip.
Right.
But it's all blue for my little boy.
Oh my God. He's so cute.
It's like
cute.
Blue this, blue that. But it's going to be pretty low key because he's only one and he won't remember
that's
it. And it's
point.
Really, then it's for, you know, mama and mama just wants low key. So.
Yeah. Well, it's basically a national holiday here at The Toast. Harry, when you watch us in like 10 years, we love you so much, like obsessed with you. You're the greatest thing ever. I'll be the best birthday. I would love you till the day I die, always and forever, Auntie Koya.
He's not watching this because like he doesn't really like our show.
Honestly, respect. He's not the target demo, if I'm being honest.
Honestly, I see so many babies watching The Toast. Like, people always are tagging us in their stories. Like, the babies are enthralled. But I think it was, like, maybe he would watch this episode because he hasn't seen you. But when we were trying to get him to watch it and we were right there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think he'd want to watch Miss Rach with Miss Rach.
I think he would.
No, he would look at her and be like, do a flip, wench.
Yeah, yeah. You're just sitting here, girly?
Yeah, like, you're going to make me watch this pre-recorded nonsense?
Oh, well... Honestly, I know it's Super Bowl and we have so much to discuss. I'm wearing my Super Bowl hoodie. Arizona
Where'd you
Super
get
Bowl.
That?
It came in a PR package yesterday. A lot of really cool merch for Ben from like Michael Strahan's new like merch company. And I thought this was so cute and appropriate for The Toast.
It is.
I know.
I almost wore my Red the Bar sweatshirt to celebrate the Chiefs' triumph.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. I can't wear it every day.
I know, by the way, I almost wore one today,
it's
too.
It's really, I could wear one tomorrow. And I'm sure people are like, you do wear it every day, you guys. But, like, we really can't, like, wear it every day.
No, I know. Like, you'd think we own the company.
I know.
For how much we're shilling it. We don't, but we do own Spritz Society, spritzsociety.com. I believe we have a code TOAST still active.
Always active.
Always. That's what I think. Yeah.
Did you enjoy a nice spritz with the Super Bowl last night?
I did. I got a lot of good snacks. Actually, we had to order our snacks on GoPuff because Ben went out to Duane Reade. And as he was walking in, the place was being robbed and people were screaming. And so Ben just like turned around and left. He's okay. And I believe everyone is okay. I think it's just like, you know,
New York tings.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So I didn't even get like my, I didn't get my proper selection of snacks because like, you know.
And isn't that the real shame?
Yeah, the pharmacy is like they've got tons of options. GoPuff has a ton of options too, but not as much as a grocery store.
I have to be honest. I ordered extra backup snacks on GoPuff yesterday and some Spritz, and I got everything. And like, I didn't even need that much, so now I just have everything. I got Chester's unopened. I've got Doritos unopened. I've got Rolled Gold unopened.
Okay, let's talk about Rolled Gold.
Not
Rolled Gold. Sorry. Rolos. I thought you were talking about Rolos. Rolos are like the most underappreciated snack of all time. They're so fucking good.
Agreed.
Sounds like you weren't going to agree.
No, I was just going to like do something that you and Ben would do, like start a conversation that like Ben would start. You want to hear it?
Of course.
Would you consider Rolos a snack?
Good question. That is a very good question. That's an interesting point. I guess, like, would you consider a Hershey Kiss a snack?
No.
Yeah, it's like kind of
it's something a sweet you like grab. Treat.
Yeah, no. Okay. Such a good point. Fire point. And, you know, I believe they have new packaging where they have like a bag of unwrapped Rolos. Not the same.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
Yeah, there's something about like peeling it back, the foil, like a gift.
Having you know? To work for your roll.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're just a monster shoveling them in.
And then like your hands get all sticky.
God forbid the bag reaches a temperature where they start to meld together.
Anyone else's husband do this or just like person that they know? Like whenever we get candy that's like sour, fruity, like we got Nerds, like anything that's even remotely sweet, like boom, it goes in the freezer. Like the second.
My husband does that freezer. With chocolate.
Oh, that's weirder.
No, what you said was weirder.
Really?
Yeah. Because like people, like they make Snickers ice cream bars.
Ice cream, yeah. Oh my God.
But like, why do I want to break my tooth? Like a chocolate is meant to be creamy, delicious, soft. Yeah. Why am I in the tooth breaking business now?
No, and I understand almost like putting it in the fridge, like to keep it a nice consistency when it's chocolate. Because, you know, you leave it in the cupboard a little too long, gets hot, you forget to turn the air on, boom, it's a soup.
No,
oh my God, you're at a loss for words.
It just shouldn't be so hard.
I mean, that's my feeling about life. Like, life shouldn't be so hard, but yet, here we are, everything is hard.
Yeah, like, where do you keep your chocolate?
Where do you keep your chocolate?
Let us know in the comments.
Growing up, my friend Alicia always like and her family like they always kept the chocolate in the fridge and I'm like this is so weird but you know what it's actually not.
No, I understand their methods but I don't want to eat cold chocolate.
No, me neither. Then you'd have to like let it sit before eating
and then what if you let it sit for too long?
But then you're just delaying the chocolatey goodness.
Agreed.
So of course we have a great show today. We're going to talk about the halftime show, the game, the commercials,
the national anthem.
A lot to discuss. I'm so excited. I was like really watching very attentively at the game, the commercials, everything. So I have my thoughts locked and loaded.
I have a lot of thoughts. I wasn't watching as attentively because like there were children. Mm-hmm. Harry's bedtime was in the middle. I watched the halftime show so attentively, though.
Yeah.
But I definitely missed a lot of commercials, missed a lot of game. You know, points were being... Every time I came back, the score was higher and higher.
You know, Donna Kelsey got what she wanted. It was a very high-scoring game.
Yeah, and both of her boys shined.
100%.
The one shined a little brighter.
Yep. And I have thoughts on that, too.
Okay, so let's get into... Super
Wait,
toast.
Let me see if there's anything else I want to recap from this weekend. Oh, today is my big day.
It's her big day, you guys.
It's coronation day. It's literally coronation day. I couldn't sleep last night. Like, this is something I'm really nervous about. Tonight I am performing and walking in Cynthia Rowley's New York Fashion Week show. It is a night celebrating females in comedy. We're all going to be like wearing Cynthia's new line. I had my fitting on Friday. I was like, to me, there's nothing worse sounding than a fitting. like, oh, I have to fit into clothes. Like, nothing worse. Let me tell you how I, maybe I've been sleeping on Cynthia Rowley, because she designs for women.
Real
not
women.
Girls. Real women with like cellulite, okay? I cannot wait for everyone to see. I have two looks. I cannot wait. I look sickening. Like, you saw it, right? Like, I look amazing.
I mean, that's what happens when you buy clothes that aren't made like from...
Yeah. Yeah, like in sweatshops. Like,
no, not even like, not even where they're made, like what they're made of. Like when they're made with top quality fabric, bitch.
Jackie, I am wearing top quality fabric. I am wearing top quality fabric.
What Jackie Goldschneider was trying to say.
I look amazing. Like, it's amazing what the difference is when you wear clothes that feel like real clothes. Like, these are garments, you know?
These are garments. And that's why, art. Like, I mean, a lot of clothes are unnecessarily expensive, but like in a lot of situations, like, you do get what you pay for. And like when you're shopping fast fashion, I won't single anyone out. I won't yuck your yums. Like, it's really a piece of garbage.
No, and then I went shopping in her store after the fitting and I got some stuff for my trip to Portugal. Like, it was... I'm kind of like a high-end like designer girl now.
I love this journey for you.
Like, you won't catch me on Amazon. Just kidding. You absolutely will.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good to mix. And you can't have like a closet full of designer clothes. But like, when you have an event, like...
Investing in real pieces, even though...
And you can wear it over and over. You'll have it for years to come.
I really hope I get to keep them. Like, I just feel like I'll go home in my outfit, you know?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, sorry, Cynthia, changed my number.
You know, it's like Cynthia's like, oh, hey, we're sending a messenger. I'm like, oh, I'm out of town.
I moved. Yikes.
Or like maybe I'll just put it off until my trip to Portugal because I want to wear some of the stuff in Portugal. And then I'll be like, oh, I'm back. They're ready to be picked up. There's just like a little stain in the armpit.
Yeah, no, you'll send them for dry cleaning. You're a nice girl.
Yeah, I'm a nice girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like so looking forward to tomorrow's show where I can recap it. Like, I have such a bit. And what's so crazy is like, compared to like audience sizes I've done, like, this is, it's nothing, but it's, you know, it's a new audience. It's like fashion girlies. What?
Nothing.
In terms of size, it's like, I think maybe a couple hundred. I've done a couple thousand, you know?
It's a couple hundred?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, influencers, tastemakers, fashionistas.
Fashion. So like, you know, fashion girlies, they can be fucking bitches, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, so much of comedy is making people feel like, you know, relatable and have them feel like seen and heard. And I don't know these girls, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's why you just have to be yourself, Turdy.
Yeah. No, and I have some really good, I wrote some material over the weekend that I sent to you and you thought it was good, right?
Yeah. That you sent to me. I thought, yeah. You said, or this.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
That.
It's like writing. So I have some like good fashion stuff. Like, I'm excited. This is like, it's so new and different for me. And I have like a bunch of people coming who like, I know, I'm like, you bitches better laugh so motherfucking hard.
Is the snatcher going?
Of course.
She better be laughing, like cackling like a
fucking
hyena.
I texted everyone who's coming, like the Taylors, Ben's sister, Maddie, Margot. I'm like, you better fucking cackle. Like, I want it to be fake. I want it to.
Claudia, you need to fly Olivia in for the occasion.
I know, because they're, Olivia came to like probably four of my shows total. And if you were there. Yeah, she came to the first one ever at City Winery, which was more like a dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. She came to, of course, MSG. She came to Fort Lauderdale. Maybe three.
Okay.
Is that it? Yeah. And it was like the best shows ever. She has laughs like a hyena, and it's like so, it's so empowering.
It's infectious.
It's infectious, but like to... Like, usually when you're on stage and you hear a crowd laughing, it's a cacophony of laughter. You don't hear one person individually. But Olivia has this really special, unique, kind of like infectious, gorgeous laugh that you could hear in a crowd of a million. And to know that it was my sister, and like, I know her laugh is real. It's not like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Like, I know when she laughs like that, like when we were kids. It was the best. I really should. I should fly her in.
Yeah.
Fire up the jet.
Fire up the jet. I'll come too.
I think Levi and Kayla can take a couple hours off from there.
From their mama.
Yeah, she needs a break.
And Brew? Is Theo going?
Always welcome. No, he's not.
You should walk the runway with Theo.
With Theo.
Ba, ba, ba.
Ba, ba. Work, Vogue, Vogue.
Love that.
So that's like what on my, that's why I'm like wearing my natural hair today. And I'm wearing like literally one like tiny ounce of makeup because I have full glam after this. I gotta, you know, get going.
How are you gonna wear your hair? Like the usual turd?
Of course, like, so nice. Shout out to Cynthia letting me do my own glam. So, you know, my regular, I love my
regular,
I'm not a girl
regular.
I'm not a girl who experiments with glam. Ever.
I know, but now that you're like wearing high fashion, I know. I, like, one of the outfits you're wearing, like, I could see a bun.
I could see a bun too, but I'm not going to do it, but I could see it.
Okay. One step at a time. One step at a time. Uh-huh. There's no need to rush.
Don't
it's
rush.
It's like learning to fly.
Fly, bitch.
Or falling in love.
Falling in love. Well, speaking of singing, I guess that's one a great segue into one of our stories, all the performances from last night.
Yes. So without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Yeah, you, bitch. Today's episode, Super Toast, is brought to you by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. You know how people say, like, oh my God, how did the cavemen do, you know, X, Y, and Z? I think, how did we shop before Honey? Because I used to literally be shopping online and Googling, like, promo codes, Bloomingdale's, like, so much, and I'd just copy and paste a million different ones till I found one that works. Honey takes seconds. It's free to download and install when you use our link, and then it will literally be saving you money in seconds. So here's how it works. You're shopping at one of your favorite sites online. When you check out, the Honey button will appear, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons that it can find for the website that you're on, and if they find a working coupon, you will watch the prices drop. And now what's so exciting, I've had it on my desktop, my laptop for like many years. Now it works on iPhones too. So just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. I have loved shopping online on my phone because it's so easy with like Apple Pay. And now Honey, I don't have to miss out on the savings because Honey works on your iPhone Safari too. I have saved money on clothes, on makeup, on food, on electronics, pretty much everything, like stuff I buy for the studio, equipment, obviously clothes for my house, makeup for my house. It's everything. So if you don't already have Honey, you are straight up missing out. And by getting it, you're doing yourself a solid and supporting the Toast. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So, you know, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, it's so important to surround yourself with people who you're compatible with, people you match with. And that's just, you know, obviously relationships, but working relationships too. You know, got to have the same personality, the same sense of humor, have a good chemistry. Too bad there's not some sort of technology that can easily find the right person for you. But if you're hiring, there is technology that can quickly help you find the right person for your open role. ZipRecruiter's matching technology. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/toast. ZipRecruiter uses matching technology to identify the most qualified people for a wide range of roles. If you see the one on ZipRecruiter, they'll make it easy to send them a personal invitation, so they're more likely to apply to your job. If you want to really catch their eye, ZipRecruiter offers attention-grabbing labels that speak to job flexibility like urgent, training provided, remote, and more. Find candidates you're crazy about with ZipRecruiter. We have used ZipRecruiter many times over the years to hire roles for The Toast. It is a great asset, a great resource. Theo's getting all excited. He's like, yeah, mom, ZipRecruiter. Your employers already love ZipRecruiter. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive link to try ZipRecruiter for free. It's ZipRecruiter.com/toast. That's ZipRecruiter.com/toast. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thank you, ZipRecruiter, for sponsoring today's episode. For any and all of your hiring needs, make sure to check out ZipRecruiter.com/TOAST.
Thank you, Turdy.
You're welcome.
Our first story, we'll talk about the game in a second, but Rihanna confirmed she's pregnant with baby number 2 after her Super Bowl halftime performance. So Rihanna is expecting her second child, her rep confirmed to The Hollywood Reporter, after she performed at the Super Bowl and nobody wanted to speculate as to whether or not she was or she wasn't because, right, you know, we're not judging the bodies of new mamas.
No, so I think we're a lot
women.
Of people...
We're women.
Yeah. We're women. I think a lot of people were like, I am obsessed with Rihanna, like normalizing her postpartum belly. Like, yes, months after, I still looked like that and I felt so whatever. And now Rihanna's doing it. This is amazing on the world's biggest stage. And when it was that, it was very empowering. When it was a pregnancy, like either
it
way.
It was even more empowering. No, when
I know
when she came out and she like, she literally like showed her belly.
Okay.
And then like I was watching and someone was like, is she pregnant? I was like, no, she just had a baby. Like, and literally the entire time I watched it, not thinking, like not entertaining the idea that she was pregnant.
Oh,
and then by
I
the end,
it.
I was like, maybe she is. I don't know.
So I watched it So here's the thing. I don't think Rihanna meant for it to be so confusing to us.
Agreed.
I think she meant to open it. The camera zoomed out. She showed her belly. She touched it a little. But then the camera zoomed out back so fast, she didn't like really grab her belly. It could have just been like a sensual body touch, like a dance move. I don't think she meant to confuse us. Because
she did some other sensual body touches.
Yeah. I think she meant to be like extremely clear. Agreed. But like it got lost. She was busy thinking about other things, the moves, the choreo, the lyrics, the vocals. So she didn't do like the most overt belly touch. And then the camera zoomed out really quick. So we were all like, no one was really commenting on... no one was really commenting on like the performance or the pregnancy until we had some sort of
confirmation,
clear confirmation. And then people started looking back on the podcast she did right before, talking about how she's bringing a special guest. And of course, there were no special guests, like, you know, fellow singers.
It was her unborn bebe.
It was her unborn bebe, which we love. So I was pretty sure she was pregnant the whole time. Like, I don't know what a postpartum belly looks like, but I felt like this belly was like really pregnant looking, like, you know, popped, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could have been a postpartum belly because like everybody's like bellies are bellies and they're gonna, yeah, and belly's gonna belly.
You just said a mouthful right there, sister.
But then, so I watched the whole thing, like not thinking that she was pregnant, thinking this was just like a moment for postpartum women to be like, we do not have to
bounce back,
snap back in any sort of particular timeline. Then towards the end, I was like, maybe, like, I really didn't like think she was pregnant because I would have been like so overwhelmed if by the end she's singing Diamond, she's like over State Farm Stadium. And you could tell they left her performance, the cameras, like, to, you know, move on. And they came back to her because she was like having a moment up there, like really like taking it all in. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was like, wow, Rihanna's impressed by the Super Bowl. Like, that's so cool. But yeah, it's like, no, Rihanna is performing the Super Bowl halftime show, pregnant, fucking crushing it.
Yeah.
And she's on her queen shit. Like, it was such a beautiful moment. I wanted to go and watch it back now knowing that she's pregnant, because I think if she weren't pregnant, people might want to criticize, like,
yes,
what was given.
Yeah.
Not me, though. I was like,
no.
Like, she was doing all the same moves as her dancers, but in, like, you know, the lighter way.
Lesser.
Like, the, you know, less energy way, which makes sense because like she's singing, they're not, like,
of course.
And her dance moves, so are like, she's such a good dancer, like the dance moves are sick even when she's not trying. It's like
she has like a swagger, she doesn't need to do the most, like her mm-hmm. just doing like the light versions of the choreography is like so, she's so cool.
So cool. And like that's how, like, and then those would be dance moves that like we would all pick up, you know, because we're not going to dance like her dancers. We're lay people.
So my initial thought, like for you were like, oh, it's postpartum belly. My initial thought was like, oh my God, she's pregnant. And I watched like the whole day, like the pre-show, and there was like a bunch of interviews. She did like an Apple Music one. She did a Michael Strahan one. And I realized, I'm like, she's wearing these enormous puffer jacket / capes. And I'm like, oh my God, she's been hiding this pregnancy the whole time. And like, it clicked for me. I didn't want to say anything like on social media because like, it's not appropriate. And I think for the most part, like everybody did a really nice job of like not being saying respectful. A thing until we had confirmation.
But everyone was like a little too respectful because she was trying to tell us.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, I don't think Rihanna meant to be unclear at all.
I don't think she wanted people to come away from her Super Bowl show being like, is she pregnant? They wanted to be like, oh my God, she fucking did that pregnant.
So I had that experience because the second we saw her, I was like, oh my God, she's pregnant. And I cannot tell you how like that carried me through the performance. Like, I was so inspired. Like, I've never been pregnant. I've seen you and Olivia very pregnant. I know how much it like takes a toll on your body, even if you are like the most fit queen of all time. Like, it's so hard. And the way her vocals stayed on fucking point to the very last note, she did not sound or seem out of breath, was insane to me. She also, I feel like, and I don't know if I really ever have seen anyone else do this, because the whole time whenever anyone performs at the Super Bowl, they're like focused, just like being a performer. And there were like a couple times where like she looked around and like took it all in and like smiled to herself. Like between songs, she walked from one stage to another and she's like smiling to herself, really taking in how big of a deal this is. Obviously, it's a Super Bowl. It's the biggest stage in the world. But to do it with your baby and to be pregnant and like just to show women, like I was so inspired. And like I will not... I will not say one negative thing about it. I will not tolerate one negative thing being said about it. Like, could you? Sure. Will you? Absolutely not. But
knowing that she's pregnant, you really can't say anything.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know how far along she is, but I'm going to guess.
She seemed decently like 5 or 6.
I would say between 4 and 5.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I'm just guessing. Which would mean that she did the bulk of all of this in her first trimester, which is so hard because even though the first trimester you're not like massive, you feel horrible. Like mm-hmm. you're so tired and you're like nauseous and you just don't have the energy to like not even just show up to rehearsal, but like to plan, like to sit in meetings like that. Like, and yeah. So that's what's so impressive to me. Of course, like the actual performance and the stamina that she had, but the fact that like she worked on this for months in her first trimester.
Yeah, no, that's such
like
a good
going
point.
To rehearsals every day.
And by the way, it cannot be stressed enough how amazing her dancers were. They were incredible.
Amazing.
13 minutes of nonstop movement. Like, could never be me. They were doing the most for all 13 minutes. Like, it was so impressive. They're all so talented. I thought it was amazing. Like, I loved it. And I just thought, like, it was so historic. Like, that, it was amazing.
No, it was amazing. I thought the dancers were amazing. I loved the setup. Like, when she came me with, too. Like, when she's, from when she started, like, Bitch Better Have My Money, and they were all on these huge platforms, I was like, this is fucking crazy. And then, like, that they kept, like, leveling the whole time, and mm-hmm. then, of course, the end. But, like, I thought that the whole, just stage setup was brilliant, but it was cool. They weren't trying too hard, but it was just, like,
yep.
fresh. Like, that's, like, everything Rihanna does. It's, like, she's not so over the top, but it's yeah. just like effortlessly cool. And I thought that yep. was like effortlessly fucking awesome.
I completely agree. I mean, the moment for Fenty Beauty, like, you know, you don't get paid to do that Super Bowl halftime show. And you're obviously afterwards going to get like ancillary money from just like all the promo, your music. Lived for it, like so iconic. Of course, just like the whole motion of like, yeah, I'm a pregnant woman. I'm fixing my makeup in the middle of my set. But also I own this $1 billion company, bitch. Like right. It was so cool.
Also, it was for all of the lights. So like the lights are going on. So you do need to powder your face.
100%.
Got extra bright. I want you all to see it.
Oh my God. Didn't even put that together. The set list, Ben was forlorn. He was like, Ben's favorite song in the world. How about a round of applause?
That's so
and
Ben.
And you know what? So Ben. I don't love that song, so I don't care that she didn't sing it. But I kind of loved that she didn't. And I feel like maybe this is like an easy way to bake in like a break in your performance is to do like a ballad. Like you slow down. You don't have to dance. And she didn't do any. She obviously has like so many slow ballads that are amazing. And she didn't do any of them. She kept the energy at like 100%. I knew she had so many hits, but like the way I did not realize until they were back to back performed. Hit after hit after hit. Like, she's such a fucking queen.
Such a queen. The only ballad she did was Diamonds, which was the last one.
Oh, and I don't even consider that a ballad, though.
It was like, so gorgeous, like, the way that the whole thing ended.
Everyone's flashlights.
I was living for Umbrella. Like, I just needed more. Umbrella's so iconic. Like, and
agreed.
It's such a good song. She has so many good songs. But I do want to say, you saw that TikTok of that girl. Like, she's like,
yes,
predicting how Rihanna should come out to yep. Life's a game, but it's not fair. Ch-ch-choo. I break the rules, so I don't care. I keep doing my own thing, walking tall against the rain. I was singing this all night last night. I was like, Levi, this is how it's going to go. Victory yeah. is in a mile, almost there, don't give a doubt. The only thing that's on my mind is who's going to run this town tonight. Like, those lyrics are perfect for the Super Bowl. And once,
totally.
Once I had that in my head of that's how she has to open the show, like, I was really disappointed that she didn't.
I know.
Because,
but I also,
even though Bitch Better Have My Money is actually probably one of my favorite Rihanna songs ever.
Me too.
And I don't ever think about Run This Town, but like, I needed that girl.
Yeah, no, that was a really good call.
Such a good call. But then thankfully she did sing that part.
But I do like that like Rihanna didn't waste time with like a big, like slow opening. Like, she has so many hits, get to it. You only have so much time mm-hmm. before they got to break down that stage. She was like, we're not wasting any time with semantics. Like, she literally, we saw her face, Bitch Better Have My Money.
Yeah.
There
were a couple
song.
Songs. Like, I mean, she said this was the hardest part, was choosing the songs. And for me, there were a couple songs that are probably her biggest hits that I didn't need to hear.
Oh.
Like Work.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's like such a quintessential Rihanna song.
I know, that's a crazy thing to say. And
no, but by the way, that's the thing with the Super Bowl. That's why I've said, like, I do not want Taylor Swift out here doing the halftime show. She will play my least favorite song.
Shake It Off.
You have to play, you have to play your most radio, pop, well-known top 40 hits. This is for America, not for, you know, the Grammys. It is for people of all ages, of all backgrounds, all socioeconomic upbringings. Like, it is for the people. And you have to do, like, the radio. Taylor Swift would do Shake It Off, Love Story, like, We Are Never Getting Back Together, oh, I Knew You Were Trouble.
Trouble,
like,
22, yeah, help.
I would hate it. Help. I would hate it. So, like, you have to have that level of expectation. Now, I want to say a lot of people were like, Jay-Z was there. She didn't bring out Jay-Z. No. She was supposed to bring out Eminem. Like, the way that this pregnant woman held it down by herself, like, I was so overjoyed.
No, the way, she didn't bring anyone out. And also, like, people thought she would, like, not people, like, my husband thought she might bring out Drake for work because he is in, he performed in Phoenix that weekend.
Yep.
First of all, I think she fucking hates him is the vibe I get.
Agreed. She thinks he's annoying.
And I feel like she never wants their names. If she can have any, like, she hates when their names are always associated together. So why would she, on the biggest stage in the world, bring out this annoying guy that she can't stand? And he's also like her ex. So like she has like a new man and a new life. Like, she's family. Why would she bring him out? So then when it was all of the lights, they were like, okay, well now she would bring out Jay-Z if she's bringing him out. And I was just like so relieved that she did not bring out anyone because she didn't need to. And she brought out her fetus. And that was all that mattered.
100%. And I feel like when they bring people out, you like don't even know that this person is in Phoenix. Do you know what I mean? Like, Jay-Z was on the field before. We saw pictures of him and Blue Ivy like looking really cute. So we knew he was there.
Did you see him taking pictures for her?
Obsessed.
The fact that he got down on the floor, which is what I make my husband do when he's taking the key shot for me. And he's just like working. And she actually was not pleased with the work that he did.
Trash, dad, trash. I love that. Like, seeing celebrities be human is my absolute favorite thing to do on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny.
So I love that she didn't bring anyone out. And if she had brought Jay-Z or Drake, who were both like very publicly at the Super Bowl, I would have been like, oh, like it's not even a surprise. Like, okay, Eminem, maybe she could have brought out because where the fuck is Eminem ever? Like, nobody ever knows where he is.
Yeah.
But I love that she didn't. Was he there last year? I think so, yeah.
I don't know. I was watching from the hospital. I had just given birth.
Oh. Mm. So I really, I give it a 10 out of 10. The performance was amazing. I think, like, what it meant to a lot of people was amazing. I got misty-eyed. I'm like, this bitch. Like, I loved it. I loved it.
I'm going to watch it again today knowing that she's pregnant. Because last night I thought she was doing it for the postpartum mamas. Mm-hmm. Now I know she's doing it for the expecting mamas. But she's really doing it for all mamas. And really, like, it was the Super Bowl of the mamas. Because Rihanna and her belly, Mama Kelsey, and Kylie Kelsey giving birth on the field, essentially.
No, but she didn't give birth,
no,
did she?
No, no, no. But whenever she does go, she should just roll into the stadium and do it there.
100%.
100%. So it was really like a proud mama moment, especially considering like the whole sport and the whole event is for men.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree.
Are you ready for our next story? A little more entertainment news and maybe eventually we'll talk about the game.
We will. I have thoughts on that too.
Chris Stapleton sings a soulful, bluesy national anthem that draws tears from the men on the field. Chris Stapleton's turn at singing the national anthem at Super Bowl Levi represented the third consecutive year in which a country artist has sung all or part of the pregame song. Oh, wait, I didn't realize that.
Last year, like Eric Church played the guitar.
Mickey Guyton was 2022, and then Eric Church did a duet with Jasmine Sullivan.
Whatever. Yeah.
Chris Stapleton brought tears to the eyes of this nation with his rendition of the national anthem.
I mean, I expected nary a single thing less than what he gave, but my God, that was beautiful.
Claudia, I feel like that's
beautiful. It's very hard for me to like not hear the national anthem and get chills. Like, it's just, it's what happens. Mm-hmm. But holy shit, like that was so gorgeous. Moving. It was so spectacular. I think it'll go down as one of the best. Like, when I think of the best, I think of Beyonce. I think of Whitney Houston. I think of Lady Gaga. And I will think of Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
It was different. He didn't stray too far, but he added his own bluesy twang.
Yeah, but he was himself.
He played the guitar at the same time, which is so fucking impressive.
It was also like effortless. It was like he's playing for his kid's baseball game.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Whenever they cut to the military, it's one thing I love about the Super Bowl is they really honor the troops, and I feel like there's not enough of that. I always get chills. I always cry, and then they cut to the base, and then they cut to that Nick Suestra guy who was crying, and I was crying.
Oh, my God. I never saw that man before in my life. He's my favorite man.
Hot. I was so moved by the whole
It was a really moving evening. Like, I feel like for a sport that's all rough and tumble, like, it was very emotional between
And they, you know what?
Chris,
say what you want.
By the way, like, not to be left behind, but Jason Kelce was misty-eyed.
Yes, he was.
There was glass in his eyes.
You know, the NFL has their problems, but I feel like not enough is really said about, like, how much work they do in their communities and philanthropy and honoring the military. And, I mean, I will never hear the name Pat Tillman and not crying. Like, and you know what? I don't want to be negative, but I fear I must. Mm. I really had a problem with the Eagles fans, and I don't know for sure it was the Eagles fans, but like everyone was like, yeah, that was the Eagles fans in the stadium. Like when they gave, you know, the Walter, what's his name?
Not Reed.
The award that Dak Prescott got. Was it Walter Manning?
I wasn't watching.
Okay, so in the beginning, they gave an award. It's Walter something Man of the Year. Sorry. And it goes to a player every year. Dak Prescott Award.
Yeah, Dak Prescott, Walter Payton.
I was about to say Walter White. I think it's Walter Payton. Walter Payton. Sounds fair. Okay.
Look at me. Oh, my God.
So every year, they have a bunch of nominees of players in the NFL who win. One of them wins for, you know, just doing the most in their community this season. You know, philanthropy. You know, obviously, J.J. Watt won it the year. He did all that for Houston. And Dak Prescott won this year. And I know that there's like an Eagles rivalry with the Cowboys. But when he was presented his award for philanthropy, he got booed by presumably the Eagles fans. And I thought that was really fucking disgusting. And then for the coin toss, they had four of the Pat Tillman scholars. So people who the Pat Tillman Foundation have helped, you know, who have been in the military and then have, you know, helped them achieve higher education in, you know, biotech and all different things. And they had four amazing people, like two women, two men, and we learned their stories and they got to like present the coin for the coin toss, booing.
Wait, why?
Are you fucking kidding? I don't know. Like, enough. Jeez. Like, where is the humanity?
That's crazy. Like, you don't even know.
It really
these
pissed
people.
Me off. No, and it's like, it's a Pat Tillman Award. Have some fucking respect.
Who tossed the coin?
One of the girls. She was so cute. I got their stories all confused, but like it was all people who like, you know, felt so compelled to join the military after 9/11, much like Pat Tillman, served their time, and now the foundation is helping them, you know, achieve their dreams and goals of working in whatever. And the cutest one, this like little cute short woman, she got to flip the coin.
Oh my God, I love that for her. There was like drama in my house because we couldn't find the remote. I think Michaela hid it. Ooh. And
it's like Sex in the City when Lily hides the cell phone.
So we couldn't like turn up the volume or anything. We watched the national anthem and then we were like, we had paused to change a diaper. So we're like, Zach, skip forward. So he did it on his phone. And we're sitting there for like 10 minutes and like it's bright out and they're just like doing like pregame stuff and like, we had rewound. Literally, I think Shapiro was going to lose his mind. So we missed the coin toss, but we got back in time for the kickoff. So I didn't get to see the coin toss. Yeah, there was a lot going. It's a lot to watch a Super Bowl with babies.
Oh, my God. I could never. And last night was, I think, maybe the first night that I didn't, like, at least for the first half, like, watch with family or friends. It was just me and Ben on the couch. And you know what? So much better, especially when I have to recap it here.
You were really tuned in.
I saw everything. I feel like at parties, everyone's like talking and shit. And like, then the commercials come and they're like, oh, let's go. Shut up.
No, I was really like, I had a lot going on. I took a bath in the middle.
Oh.
And then I came back and I watched the end. And then I watched like, you know, MVP and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I did miss a lot of commercials due to all of this. And that's our next story. Commercials.
Okay. I have thoughts.
Okay. Let's talk about best, worst. What are you thinking?
Okay, before I, you know, give a diatribe of like who did what, I have to say, and I'm curious if anyone else felt this way, like I think overwhelmingly as like in a general sense, I didn't really like the commercials. I felt like every brand was competing. Like, who could shove the most celebrities in a commercial? It wasn't, I feel like it used to be about like being really funny or different or like tugging on the heartstrings. Uh-huh. And there were a few commercials that did that. And I will talk about them, especially if they had dogs. But for the most part, it was just like, let's make a biggest spectacle. And to the point where like, I don't even remember who was in what. It was just kind of like this cacophony and like this fucking... like just so many celebrities, and it was like, oh, no, okay.
And it's like, if you were a celebrity and you weren't in a commercial, like, yikes.
Yeah. And I don't know, I just felt like no one really stood out because they all did the same thing, like decently funny humor, like the little hook was kind of funny, and they had 18 celebrities.
Yeah, agreed. There were some where like the celebrities were germane to the storyline. Ben Affleck working at Dunkin' Donuts,
cute.
But then there were others where it was just like they just kept throwing them in. Like,
yeah. So I actually wrote down ones that I thought were cute and they either had celebrities or didn't.
Okay.
So the one for T-Mobile with Bradley Cooper and his mom, where it's like, we attempted to make a commercial with Bradley Cooper and his mom, and they keep like, it's basically a blooper reel of them trying to like say T-Mobile stuff, but like his mom is so funny and the script was really funny. And I don't know if they intended to actually make a commercial and ended up using bloopers or the whole concept was like blooper. Very funny. Love seeing Bradley Cooper. He's not like an overexposed celebrity.
Yeah.
So that was really cool and different. And I love that he did it with his mom because his mom is like this Philadelphia character, you know, with like the hot pink lipstick. Like really very good and funny.
Cool.
A lot of commercials like recreated iconic moments in like movie and TV history. Like, you know, Pepsi had Ben Stiller doing a lot of his iconic roles like Zoolander. And I didn't think it was so iconic. However, Rakuten recreating Clueless with Amber, Cher, and Christian Siriano, that was inspired. Yes. And then at the very end, she's like, Rakuten. And the guy in class behind her is like, aren't you a little old to be here? And she's like, okay.
It was giving, like, it was never very... been kissed. Also, yeah. That's like a good use of celebrities because it's not like they were chosen because they're the most famous celebrities and they got paid millions of dollars. Like, I actually think they probably got paid like reasonable amounts, but there was more of, about the story that was being told.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of commercials, like, were so focused on, like, being outrageous or having as many celebrities that they forgot they were selling something. Right. And so I think a commercial that did an amazing job was the e.l.f. face primer one because it was Jennifer Coolidge being crazy, but the whole point was that her hands and face were so sticky from the very tacky e.l.f. primer that every time she picked something up, like, it sold the product while being very funny. And you know what? I use that primer. It's fantastic. So I feel like... people forgot this is an advertisement, an advertisement.
Yeah. Another one that like sold the product really well, I think we saw it before the Super Bowl though, was the Popcorners breaking bread.
You know what? I missed that one.
Breaking Bad. Oh my God. You didn't see it online before?
I tried not to watch any before. I'm like, can we leave something to the imagination?
Oh, I never even watched Breaking Bad, and I thought this was a great commercial. It made me want to eat a Popcorner. But they're, I like, cooking popcorns up in their lab, and they air pop a Popcorner, and then they're, like, mm-hmm. so excited, and they go to that dealer guy in the desert, and he was like, make another flavor.
It was
perfect. It was perfection.
Okay, wait. Do you know that I watched our toast episode from the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Okay.
Just to, like, see what we were saying, it came up on, like, my YouTube, on my Apple TV. And I said something so funny, classic me. And it's literally the same. I could have said this, made the same joke. I said, you know, good on TurboTax for literally paying, like, a premium for a commercial, like, $5 million, just to use the same commercial, the same concept that you use on regular cable.
Listen, you got a budget.
Literally. Last night, I saw the TurboTax commercial, like, nothing special, nothing different. I'm like, oh my God, literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Love the lack of energy.
Yeah, the one for Workday about the rock stars. I liked the concept, but then they kind of ruined it with having so many rock stars. They should have had just, like, one.
Major.
And have a face.
But see, to me, that commercial was what literally the formula that everyone followed. Have, like, a kind of funny hook. Stop calling your coworkers rock stars. 1,000 celebrities. Like, that is unoriginal now. That's what everyone does. I feel like to be different. And I feel like even somebody who did that the best was the Doritos Triangle. Like, that was a great concept with really A-list celebrities, but, like, everyone else was doing the exact same formula.
I, like, didn't love that. Also, like, I mean, I love the Triangle and I love Doritos. And I just feel like in the past, Doritos always has the best commercials.
Yes.
Based on, like, humor and merit. And, like, they always have, like, a mouse or something, not a celebrity. I felt like... it wasn't the Doritos roots, you know?
I agree. I feel like they sold out to Hollywood.
Or like they went to a new agency and they were like, Jack Harlow is the guy. He'll sell your chips.
Yeah, literally. Like, he's on the pulse of TikTok.
But I do have some Doritos downstairs. I bought them before the commercial and I would like
to Doritos are amazing.
I would like to eat them.
Now let's talk about some of like the unknown brands. I always love that. To me, the weirdest one was basically a QR code. It was like scan for a prize. Now, me and Ben scanned it because we were so confused. And it took you to Twitter, the Twitter account of a man named Gabriel Ledon.
I love this for him.
He is the CEO of a company called Limit Break, which is like a game developer, and Digital Daigaku, which is also like a collection of, it's like a gaming, whatever. So it took you to his Twitter, and he's like running a giveaway to win like a digital prize for following him on social media. So he paid, what is it? What is the cost now for a commercial? $5 million? $7 million. I scanned it immediately. He had like 860,000 Twitter followers. He has a million now. So he paid $5 million for 140,000 followers on an irrelevant platform.
I don't think it was about the followers. Like, it was about like the intrigue. And I think so many people scanned it. Why would you follow him? Like, just because you scanned
it? Oh, it's NFTs.
Yeah, I think it's about intrigue and awareness. Like, and that's pretty cool. Like, but I don't think he was doing it for followers, because I'm sure his feed is not that interesting. He was doing it for like the intrigue. Also,
I know, but they should have like literally taken that QR code to their website or something.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't begin to understand NFT people.
Me neither.
Commercial. You know who had a big night? Jesus. Let me think.
Oh, what the fuck
Jesus
was that?
Jesus had so many commercials. He has a lot of money.
Jesus has a ton of money.
And they were like,
I wonder if he's single.
They were well done. They weren't like your typical, you know.
They were like powerful.
Yeah.
Trying
yeah, like
to
there
be.
Was some sort of like director with a vision board and an idea.
I thought that was weird. I, you know, Jesus is a cool guy and stuff, but like I just didn't know like he had commercials.
I know. Well, I thought overall, you know, the message was nice. Like there was, I have no issue, but I just like, who's paid for that?
No. Beyond
Jesus.
Confusing. Jesus.
Jesus
himself. Wait, also totally sidetracked, but in the performances, we forgot to talk about Cheryl Lee Ralph from Abbott Elementary.
Yeah.
Who sang really beautifully, but when she was singing, I was like, is she lip syncing? And then by the end, I was like, no, she's not. Then she responded to the questioning of her lip syncing abilities. And she said, does it matter? Does it matter? No, thank you. So she lip synced?
Yeah, so Olivia was saying that everybody lip syncs. Like, they just, that is what they have to do the Super Bowl. They don't want any surprises. But, like, I don't believe Chris Stapleton would sign up for lip syncing.
No, and honestly, she, like, flubbed up the lip sync a little bit in the beginning.
She did.
And then the rest was flawless. So I was like, oh, maybe I was just seeing stuff.
No, I think she lip synced. And I have no problem with that, because as long as it's, like, you on the original.
Yeah.
It's the biggest, like, performance in the world. Like, let's get it right. Like, I think there were some people saying that Rihanna lip sync.
No.
I don't care either way, because I understand this is a television program. Like, you're entertaining. You have to do what you have to do. Like, maybe it doesn't make sense to have her audio. Like, how does it go through to the television and also to the stadium?
I know that there are live events. Like, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, you are lip syncing no matter what. There's no ifs, ands, or buts for the last 10 years. People don't even try to pretend anymore. It's literally fraudulent. They, like, always forget that the track starts. And they're like, oh. But I actually do not believe that for the Super Bowl. Like, I've watched.
I know. I didn't believe it when Olivia said it either. That
Olivia's
you have
wrong.
To lip sync.
Olivia is 100% wrong. I don't believe
that.
For
your life.
I think if you want to, they're open to it. And if you want to not, they're open to that as well.
Yeah. And I think even if things do go awry, like, it's actually good for business and ratings.
Yep.
Like, when there's a moment that everyone's talking about.
I don't believe it. Like, and I think in Super Bowls past, like, you've seen celebrities like get out of breath on stage. Like, it's real.
Yeah, it's real.
I don't believe it. Olivia's wrong.
Agreed. But I do think that Cheryl Lee Ralph lip sync over herself.
Me too.
And I have no issue with that.
No, we know she can sing. Like, she literally just sang her award show acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Like, we know she can sing.
More commercials that were good. Will Ferrell for GM and Netflix.
Okay.
It was cute. It was creative.
Nothing really stood out to me. Oh, except I want to shout out. I feel like, you know, all the brands that get the commercials are these like old school, been around 500 years, Ford, you know, Procter & Gamble.
Frito-Lay.
And to see like, to see new like direct to consumer, very like digitally built companies getting commercials, it was like, you know, yes. And the Farmer's Dog, which is that dog food company that we actually use, to see them get a spot was amazing. And it was so, did you see it?
It's watched
you and Bruno.
I watched it this morning. And I was not okay because I had heard like some good things about it. And I was reading like listicles of best ads so that we could talk about them because I know I missed a lot. And I was literally crying. I was like, this is not going to work for me.
No, it was so beautiful. Like, really, I loved it. It was like, I have such a positive brand association now. Like, it was really good marketing.
Gorgeous. And like, I you want your dog to be eating food that's going to make him around forever. It's A plus B equals C, not stock.
No, it was so good. And I feel like if you want a good Super Bowl commercial, like just have a dog in it. Because then I think it was Amazon who had another one that really fucking played with me because they have this dog. And every time the family goes to work, the dog tears apart the house because he's so upset and bored and he misses his family. And it gets really bad. You know, the guys can't use the remote. The remote is all chewed up. The lamp is broken. And so they go to Amazon and they buy like a big kennel to, you know, transport a dog. And we're like, oh my God, they're fucking getting rid of this dog.
What kind of fucking...
What kind of fucking commercial is this? So they bring the kennel into the house and they open it and there's another dog, a friend, so he's not bored at home. It was really an emotional roller coaster. Me and Ben looked at each other. We're like, what the fuck? They're getting rid of the dog?
Oh my God.
But it was beautiful.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Look at Amazon. Just when you think you know them.
Unlimited money is really an amazing thing to have.
No, but all these brands have unlimited money and some of them gave us crap. Yeah.
So true. That commercial, I want to say it was T-Mobile again with John Travolta. I think his name is Zach Braff. I get him confused.
Yep.
And my favorite actor of all time from Clueless. Donald. It was a big night for Clueless. Yeah. I thought it was really bad. Like, I thought that was the perfect example of like, let's just throw some crappy celebrities and a song and make a commercial. Like, do less. I dare you.
Yeah. Agreed. Or just like choose one celebrity, make a choice. Like say T-Mobile, like we're the John Travolta is the face of T-Mobile, not Bradley Cooper, Donald Faison, John Travolta and Zach Braff.
And by the way, this is a great segue into our ad because you know who did a great job with that with just one celebrity?
Who?
Squarespace.
They did.
And the whole slogan of like a website that makes websites, I thought it was very cute and funny. And it had one major celebrity, not a million, Adam Driver. I thought it was great. And I'm excited to tell you more about Squarespace because maybe you didn't see the commercial last
night.
Or maybe
you didn't understand what Squarespace can do for you.
From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. Adam Driver said it best, Squarespace is a website that makes websites. So whether you have a side hustle, you want to get into e-commerce, you want to start a business, Squarespace is an amazing resource if you don't know how to create a website, which most people do not. I have made many websites over the years, like doing my blogs and stuff, and I've always used Squarespace. It is a fabulous tool that makes it so easy to build something that looks like really high-end, but you do not need to be a software engineer. They also have amazing tools to use once you get your website up and running, like e-commerce. They have video blocks. You can connect your social media accounts. You can get a traffic overview into all your analytics. You also own all the content that you put on Squarespace as a platform. They offer one-click data portability. They also have multiple contributors. So you can give contributors selective access to your site's website manager, depending on their permission. So if you have people who work for you, they can get into the website, create their own logins. Squarespace is really your one-stop shop for all things website, all things e-commerce, especially if you don't have like a background in that sort of thing. They are the place to sell anything. They have the tools you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. Whatever you sell, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. So check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/toast and offer code toast.
Thank you, Turd.
You're welcome.
I'm glad you liked that commercial.
I did, and I was hoping we had a Squarespace ad today so I could talk about it in a really native way.
That's so perfect. Oh, we should have like lined up all of our ads. State Farm.
Totally.
For the
Farmer's Dog.
For the State Farm Stadium. State Farmer's Dog. Synergy.
Synergy.
Okay, our next story. Fourth story. The game.
The game.
The Kelce Bowl.
It was Kelce versus Kelce. And I really, in terms of the Kelce versus Kelce, I was rooting for the Eagles. Like I've actually, after last night, like I'm kind of like off on Travis Kelce. Like, I think he's kind of annoying.
Okay, no, and like, I really liked his post-game interview. I thought he was fucking hysterical.
I actually didn't. Like, it was Patrick Mahomes' post-game interview, and like Travis was right next to him, and like literally he did not let Patrick Mahomes speak. Like, he was just like being crazy, and I know he was like hyped and excited and like kind of being like an attention whore, and I'm like, okay, like,
no, but he was also like giving all the praise back to Patrick, but like, what?
Yes,
he like, first of all, he gave him the mic and he just screamed into it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, none of you said that the Chiefs were going to win. Not one of you. Next time you talk about the Chiefs, put some respect on our name. And I'm like, honestly, that's so fucking true. Like, even we never thought that they were going to win. Mm-hmm. And like, next time we talk about the Chiefs, like, we should put some respect on their name.
Yeah. But like, Jason to me is like the PJ. I'm like, when you see
Jason their outfits, is the all-American man, like the family right. man.
Jason has said, like, he does not do that, like, pre-game fashion show. Everyone shows up in Louis Vuitton. I mean, if you saw Travis Kelce's outfit, he wore this enormous Louis Vuitton trench coat with a matching Louis Vuitton duffel bag. It's really like a fashion show. Jason Kelce showed up in literally a t-shirt from his high school and black basketball shorts and like a black duffel bag. He's so just like low-key, down to earth. Like, I really, in terms of the brethren, like, I was rooting for Jason. I think he's so precious. Like, he's not fancy. And of course, like, the second Travis got on the field, he scored a touchdown and they cut to Jason eating a protein bar. And the announcer was like, one brother is scoring and the other brother is having a snack. And it's like, that we are all Jason Kelce.
We are all Jason Kelce. But you know what? Like, you're either a Jason or a Travis, and you're either a Jason girly or a Travis girly. And I know so many like ladies out there, and men too, probably are in love with Travis Kelce. Like, he's so cute. He's got that charisma. And I definitely started out like the scales just because I knew Travis more. He's more front facing. He did the show. And then the more I got to know Jason, the scales were tipped.
No, and it's like, okay, if you had to spend a romantic evening with Jason or Travis, who would you spend it with? Because I think I would spend it with Jason.
I would spend it with Jason. I don't think I have the patience for Travis and his energy.
By the way, were you the one who told me that you read somewhere online that Travis was rumored to be dating
Zuri Hall?
Yeah, from E!
Yeah, I did read that.
I kind of love that.
I read that, like, not on, you know, some, like, random websites, but, like, they got that from somewhere.
I know. Every rumor, like, has an origin.
So I ship, and I hope it's true.
Me too.
But.
Oh, so when it came to the brethren, I was rooting for the Eagles. But when it came to, like, the teams, I was rooting for the Chiefs, you know. And I think an Eagles fan would tell you this, like, you know, other teams, like, they don't like the Eagles. And I'm just like, I just find their fan base, like, toxic. I'm sorry. I don't want to, like, everyone's coming for me.
No, it's like, I wanted the Eagles as a team to win, but I didn't want their fans to win.
To feel joy.
But I also didn't want them to feel pain. They're just so extreme. No.
They're so extreme. Honestly, I just feel like it's best for everyone if they don't make the Super Bowl, because it's like, when they win, it's bad. When they lose, it's bad. It's like, it's a lose-lose.
Yeah, I agree. But I also do like what I've learned about the Eagles, which is like, they're the villains of the NFL. Yes. Everybody hates them and they don't care. And I do love that mentality.
Me too. But you know, when the villains lose, it's like, ha ha ha, you know? So
it was ha ha ha. And especially after
an amazing game.
Especially after an amazing game. Like, at different points, you didn't know who was going to win. Everyone kept scoring. There was really good football played. I mean, I know sometimes there's a Super Bowl and people watching be like, this is not a good Super Bowl. I'm like, what do you mean? It's a football game.
I felt last night it was like, who's going to win the whole time.
Yeah, last night was good football, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, there was 2 minutes left and it was 35-35. Like, that's a game.
Yeah, we have a game.
It keeps you the whole time. When it's like a blowout in the second half, there's like literally a 15-point deficit. Like, that's boring.
Yeah, there were very few errors, except the Eagles had one error that kind of cost them the game.
Yeah, so a lot of people are like quaking over this one call that the refs made that gave him a 5-point penalty and really into like the goal zone for the Chiefs. One of the players was, you know, penalized for holding. It was like a very loose call. I mean, it could have been let go. It wasn't like the biggest holding in the world. It was like very innocuous. But I don't really believe it's fair to say like they would have won if it weren't for this one call. Like, there's 45 minutes of playing. Like, you had 45 minutes to win.
Yeah, I didn't see the call. That was when I was in the bath. So I didn't realize that the error was made on what could have been a call that could go either way. But it's like, did he hold? Maybe it's like not the worst hold, but a hold is a hold.
He held. No, you still did that
holding
shit.
Holding was holding.
Yeah, something was held.
Yeah. So like, okay, maybe like he didn't have to make the call, like if he didn't want to, but like,
right.
Yelled.
Yeah. And, you know, it was a triumphant night for Patrick Mahomes. He's had this like ankle injury the whole season. And it really, he got tackled really bad in the second quarter. He came back in the second half, like ready to fucking go. He was like limping a little bit, but he didn't care. Like he will take care of his body tomorrow. He gave his all, including his ankle, to the game. And it paid off. It was really good football by everyone. Like Jalen Hurts played amazing. I mean, there were a couple throws that were like so far fucking down the field.
Yeah, there was some insanity. There were a lot of really great plays, which I think is what you look for in a Super Bowl. Great catches, you know.
I mean, the turnover, the Eagles turned over the ball and the Chiefs player picked it up and scored a touchdown. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah.
That was bad.
That's exciting.
It was very exciting. And, you know, I really feel like it wasn't one person's game. I know they really have to give the MVP to the quarterback, and he should because he led the team. Yeah. He's like a captain, whatever.
But sometimes like someone makes like a play that changes the game.
It was that defensive guy who scored a touchdown. That was amazing. And I really didn't feel like it was like just Travis Kelce's night. Like, I think he scored once. Like, I think everyone from the offense to the defense, like everybody pulled their weight, and it was really, and that's when a team is at their best. There's not just one star doing everything. Everybody did their best.
I think we all did our best.
Exactly.
And I feel that way for the Eagles too, but you know, there has to be a winner mm-hmm. and there had to be a loser, and the Chiefs won, which I'm happy for the Chiefs. And it was an upset a little
bit. Yeah, it was. And, you know, the footage we got on the field of the Kelce family reuniting was tough. We saw Jason just kind of collapse into his mother's arms, which was so sad. We saw Travis and Jason give a big hug, and Jason was like, don't worry about me. Just go celebrate. Like, we'll talk later. We saw his dad come over to Travis and be like, you have two rings. Jason has one. A little, you know, sibling rivalry.
Oh, that's. I was wondering where the dad was, because all this focus has been on Mama Kelce.
As it should, but his dad was there.
As it should, but to the point that I meant last night when I was falling asleep to Google if the dad is in the picture.
Is Donna widowed?
Yeah. No, something. I was going to search just like Kelce father because I hadn't heard a peep out of him.
He was there.
Meanwhile, we know like what Donna's wearing, what she had for breakfast.
What she made for the boys.
With her sneakers, her coat, her purse. What's in her purse?
Oh, Jackson was on the field making TikToks. We love to see
King. I saw he made the one about
if you beat a cash, I could beat a rubber band, you could beat a match. Yeah. I'ma be a fuse, boom.
Yeah, I saw he was doing that. He was having fun.
Obsessed. Like, he's in the background footage of all of the interviews, just like, you know, dabbing it up, doing the Lil Uzi. You know, I love it.
Yeah, I also think Phoenix was a great host for the Super Bowl. I thought it was cool that that Waste Management golf tournament was the day before. So, like, everyone in town got to go to that and then go to that.
But there was a lot of controversy about the field. Did you see?
What do you mean?
Oh my God. People were slipping the whole night. Yeah. So, and apparently the person who's like laid the grass, you know, the grass is grown in a special whatever. It takes years. It costs $800,000, the grass. And the groundskeeper who's been laying
the grass. Is that Super Bowl grass or just State Farm Stadium grass?
I believe Super Bowl.
Okay.
So the guy who's been laying the grass, who's been in charge of it, he's 94. He calls himself the sod father. This was his last game.
I'm obsessed.
Okay, and I really don't think the grass like was his fault. Wait, where is Theo? Oh, right next to me. Okay. I don't think it was his fault. So the NFL painted on top of the grass that big ugly logo with all those colors. So that was really the slipperiest part, the center, and a lot of times where the kickers had to kick. And it was spoken about in the press conference a lot. And a lot of the players, especially from the Eagles who were bitter, they were like, it's literally unacceptable. Like, this is the National Football League. It's the Super Bowl. Like, figure it out. People were slipping and sliding all over. It was like a slip and slide.
Damn, I didn't see that. And that's really frustrating. But all I'll say is that at least, like, both teams had it equally. You know, everyone was playing in the same conditions.
Yeah.
So,
but you'll see like guys made catches and like started to run. They had more time, but they slipped. There was a lot of slipping and sliding. And the Eagles player in the first half all changed their cleats.
Wow.
Yeah, they were like trying to adjust.
Oh, maybe Phoenix wasn't the best host.
No. Although the weather was probably gorgeous.
Yeah, I like a weather where it's like not one team has the weather advantage because they're used to playing in the snow or they're used to playing. Like, so I felt like it was really neutral territory.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who I follow on Instagram who was there, like, seemed like they had a great weekend.
Having a great time. Yeah. It was awesome. It was honestly, it was a great Super Bowl, from the performances to the game to the commercial. Like, it was really enjoyable.
It was a great Super Bowl. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about our fifth and final story then, which is some celeb news, and really the only celeb news from the weekend, because Megan Fox and Machine are making waves after she deleted her Instagram hours after hinting at a split. Megan Fox is removing her online presence, at least for the moment. The actress deleted her Instagram account on Sunday afternoon, hours after she shared a post on the social media platform that hinted at a possible breakup between herself and Machine Gun. In the post, she uploaded a series of photos of herself and a video of an envelope being burned in a fire pit. She captioned it with lyrics from Beyoncé's 2016 album Lemonade, writing, "You can taste the dishonesty. It's all over your breath."
And then she like unfollowed everyone.
Except for like three hot guys. Like
she deleted
Harry
all of her
Styles.
Pictures with Megan.
But then she deleted her Instagram too.
Right. So here's what I'll say. I don't know if they're broken up. I don't really care. Like, I feel like when these two got together, we were like obsessed, like total ship. And it really was like this kind of perfect relationship. They're so compatible. And I think it was also really good for both of their careers. Like Megan Fox was like, you know, kind of brought into like this new younger generation. Mm-hmm. Machine Gun Kelly was kind of validated as like a major Hollywood superstar. I thought it was really beneficial. And then I stopped caring because they got like freaky and weird. And yeah. They just like showed up places like licking each other and the blood. Like, I don't know. I'm not into that like satanic shit. So I stopped caring. So honestly, nothing will change if these two are together or if this is just some drama, which I feel like they're always like starting stuff. Like, I don't know.
Especially over the last few weeks and months, there's been a lot of rumors that they've been splitting. You know, she posted like looking for a girlfriend and people were like, right. Oh my God, she's single. And then they're together and they are going to like major award shows together. Like they're very together. They were just at the Grammys together. Like, So I kind of feel like this is like more nonsense from them, not like PR or anything, but I just think like they're very intense people, like in the way that they love each other and then they do the thing from like Bewitched and do each other's hands, like they get into a fight and they delete each other's pictures from Instagram. Doesn't mean they're broken up and she's gonna make him jealous by following like a bunch of guys,
right.
But like they're just intense people. I can't relate, so I don't understand.
Same.
I shall wait for a statement or confirmation. I'm not gonna pretend to understand the inner workings of this couple.
Right. You said that Dumois posted that they're still very much together.
Yeah.
Not that that is any sort of confirmation, but like I don't care.
Yeah. Though you're the one who insisted we talk about it today. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, we had to talk about it.
Wasn't going to because I knew that you weren't going to care.
No, but like we had to talk about it. And I was surprised how everyone's like, what do you, like, who, you care? I find that shocking. I feel like when they first started dating, like you were gonna find me caring. I really cared, especially the Brian Austin Green, Shanna Mokler, like the whole thing. Like I was obsessed. Now that it's fizzled and they're like are engaged and like I don't care.
Yeah.
And if they're both back on the market, great. Like I'll have some fun with them on our list.
Yeah, but they're gonna be hard to place after all this.
Yeah, no, they really are like kindred freaky spirits.
Yeah, they're bonded for life. I mean, they did
with
a blood.
The blood,
pact.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, would you want to date someone has a blood pact with someone else? How do you end one?
That's such a good question. Would I want to date someone who has a blood pact with someone else? No, and it's not because I would be like sad that they have this like, you know, union with someone else. I'd be like, you shared blood, you're disgusting. Like, I would just think that they're gross.
Yeah, and I would just be like, you know, that's a level of intensity you're never going to get with me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to disappoint you, so
yeah,
I'm
for you, this relationship is all downhill because I'm not doing any of that shit. Like,
but maybe they came to you because they were tired of that life.
I don't want to be someone's like somebody's refuge from like a freaky life. Right?
Agreed.
Yeah, so you know what? Me and Megan, it's not a match.
Damn, I'll let him know.
Yeah.
And her.
So that was a Super Bowl recap. That was so fun. I love the Super Bowl. I can't wait for next year. Go Niners.
Go. Who do you want to see next year? Even though I have no idea who's in the other league.
Yeah,
like all of my teams are in
this league.
This league.
So I don't know. And you know, it's everything changes. People get traded. This is like the time of year where, you know, a team can go from being like a major threat to a nobody, or a nobody can go from being a nobody to a major threat. So we got to see who gets traded. I hope everything stays copacetic at the Niners. I think they got something really good. You know, Christian and Brock. I don't know what they're going to do about the quarterback, but they've got Kyle. They've got Kristen. Like, I think as long as they stick together, I think they have real potential. I mean, they made it to the game before the Super Bowl. I think they were a little messy, you know, especially the Super Bowl thing. The quarterback thing was like a little, you know, chaotic. I think they need to sort some things out. And I think it'll be good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Go Niners.
Go Niners. Go everyone. Go team go.
Yeah. And you know what? What I was thinking last night, like no matter where you're from, like I just the whole time I was thinking like to reach the pinnacle of your career already having made the NFL, which is a huge accomplishment, how proud your families must be, how much of an inspiration you are to those in your community. I know there was, you know, a bunch of winners and losers last night, but really to make to the Super Bowl is such an accomplishment and everybody should really feel so proud of themselves. And I just know that like their family was in the stands and watching at home feeling so proud of all the players have accomplished. And that's really the takeaway. It honestly is. Win or lose.
It is. Yasher Koach. Also, Yasher both Koach. Teams have won semi-recently. So it wasn't like there was one team that hasn't won since the 90s, the Cowboys. And so we're all pulling for them. So it wasn't like sad for anyone, really.
So true.
So I didn't feel sad, thankfully.
Thankfully.
Plus, I have my nachos. Did you see them?
I did. Your food looked so good after, like, me and Ben just, like, ordered in and, like, got snacks from GoPuff. And, like, you had this, like, catered affair.
Catered by moi. My nachos were so good. I definitely recommend that recipe, Sheep Pan Nachos from the Magnolia Table Cookbook. It can't be found online, but someone did take a picture of the cookbook and put it on Pinterest.
Gorgeous.
So if you really, like, don't want to get the cookbook, it is kind of big. It was so tasty. I need to make nachos more often, but now football season's over. Yikes.
Mm. There's only two more months. There's like not a long break in football.
No, it comes back in the fall. Yeah, it comes back in the fall and everybody's like desperate for it.
Wait, there was literally a commercial that was like the, maybe it was the preseason. I don't know. It literally said, don't worry, we'll be back in 2 months. Like, you'll be fine. I saw a commercial for it. Anyone else know what I'm talking about?
No, football is
they
in the
went
fall.
Down the length of a football field and the football field had text on it and it literally said 2 months.
Well, that would be new. Like football's in the fall.
Okay, but you're right. Like they don't play in the summer.
No.
No, you're 100% right.
But baseball's year round.
Literally.
Literally.
So that is our Super Toast recap. That is our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Everyone, please wish me luck on my big New York Fashion Week
debut. Oh my God, good luck, Turdy. You're going to be amazing.
I wish you were there. It's honestly not going to be the same without you.
I'll make the snatch or send me vids.
And I think there's a live stream. I think. I'm not sure. So just check my Instagram.
There definitely is.
Yeah, I feel like there is.
Get the link. Post it to your gram.
I will. I love you guys. Have an amazing day. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesday.
For Tuesday, Valentine's Day.
Jackie, will you be mine?
I'm already yours, Turdy. Heart and soul.
I'm already Harry's, so I can't be yours. Sorry.
Oh, wench.
Love you guys. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.